Congregation, the text on which we will meditate briefly in anticipation of the Lord's Supper, you can find in the chapter we read, John 7, verse 37. And there we read God's word in our text. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." And so here we have Christ's invitation to thirsty souls. And boys and girls, again, read along with me. Look at the text. Look at the text. So his invitation to thirsty souls. First of all, the occasion for this invitation. Because it says, in the last day, that great day of the feast. The last day of the Feast of Tabernacles. Secondly, the contents of this invitation. Namely, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And of course, the promise that is implied in this invitation. Namely, if we come to him as thirsty souls, that thirst will be satisfied in him. That is implied in that promise. So the occasion for it, the contents of it, and the promise implied in this invitation. So very briefly, we know that there were three major feasts that the people of Israel would celebrate every year. The Passover, commemorating their remarkable deliverance from Egypt. The Feast of Pentecost, where they would present the first fruits of the harvest to the Lord, the Feast of the Harvest. And later, they would also commemorate the giving of the law at Mount Sinai. And then, finally, the Feast of Tabernacles, a feast that would commemorate God's amazing way in which he led his people through the wilderness. And it's that feast that we are talking about in this chapter. That feast which was the crowning feast of all the feasts for the people of Israel. A week in which they would construct huts out of branches and out of foliage to commemorate that for 40 years they lived in tabernacles. They dwelt in tents. And hence the name, the Feast of Tabernacles. So when you would come to Jerusalem during that week, the entire city would be filled with huts. People would leave their homes and they would dwell in those huts for an entire week. It was a week of great rejoicing. It was a week in which the people, there would be this daily ritual where they would all go to the pool of Siloam. The priests would go before them. And then the high priest would take a golden pitcher of water and he would fill that with water from the pool of Siloam. Then they would return to the temple and they would pour out that water in front of the altar of burnt offering. And we're told from historical records that would be such a moment of extraordinary joy when that happened, when the priest would pour out that water. The people would be rejoicing. They would be shouting for joy. So the historical records tell us, the Mishnah, he has never seen the joy of the water drawing, has never in his life seen joy. It was a moment, it was a time when specific passages of Scripture would be quoted. So when the priest would go to the pool of Siloam and he would dip that golden pitcher in the water, they would all shout, "Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation." And then when they would come to Jerusalem, when they would come and that water would be poured out in front of the altar of burnt offering, they would shout, "Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord, I beseech thee, save now and send us prosperity." And that ritual would repeat itself seven times until the conclusion of that particular feast. And the drawing of water was a reminder that God not only provided them with bread from heaven, but it reminded them that God provided water for them in the wilderness. Sometimes we fail to realize how extraordinary that was. To think that 2.5 million people and the vast number of cattle that they possessed. They had to be sustained for 40 years in a desert. And so God gave them bread from heaven, but he also gave them the water of life. You know the story, boys and girls, how that Moses was called to smite a rock of all places. That's one place where you would not expect water to come from. But it would smite the rock, and the water just gushed out. And then Paul tells us that that rock followed them all the way through the wilderness, providing them with the water of life. And this ceremony, this pouring out of the water, was a reminder of God's amazing provision. Then we come to the last day. Now, commentators are divided whether this was the seventh day of the feast or whether this was the eighth day, the day of holy convocation. And I will not weary you with the pros and cons for it. But what's critical for us in our text, that when the feast comes to its conclusion, that's when Christ steps forward at this critical moment, at a moment where he knew very well that all eyes were upon him. If you read the entire chapter, you will see that the Jews were after him. They were looking for an occasion to take him down. And yet, in spite of all that, at this critical moment, when the joy of the people has reached its peak, Christ looks at that crowd. And he realizes that most of them have no idea that he is the fulfillment of all that. No idea that he is that rock that followed the people in the wilderness. No idea that that water that they took out of the pool of Siloam and they poured it from the altar, that he was indeed the one. They didn't realize that that prayer that had been repeated all through the ages, "Oh Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity," that that prayer was answered before their very eyes. That before them stood the one who is the rock of salvation, that before them stood the one out of whom flows the water of life. And at this critical moment, on this last day, this great day of the feast, Christ uses that opportunity once again to reveal himself, once again to proclaim to his people who he really was. And so when he cries out at that moment, "If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink." As if to say, "Oh my people, I am the well of salvation. I am the one in whom the water of life is to be found." And so really what Jesus did when he stepped forward and when he cried out with a loud voice, he was declaring to his people, "I am the Messiah. I am the one for whom you have been waiting. I am the one for whom you have been praying." And what's so beautiful is the Greek word for cried is a very intense word. It means he cried with a loud voice. He cried with amazing intensity. His voice just resounded across those thousands of people that were gathered there. "If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink." And so what Jesus was doing, he was once again revealing himself. He was unveiling to these people who he was. He was declaring that he was indeed the Savior who would come in the fullness of time. Oh, here we have the cry of a Savior who was moved to the very depth of his being. Here we have the cry of a Savior whose chief desire it was to save sinners. Here is a Savior who reveals himself and who invites with all the love and with all the generosity of his heart, who invites any man to come to him and to find in him the only real quenching of the thirst that every man ultimately has. Oh, this is a this is one of those gospel invitations, congregation, that God has used for untold multitudes throughout the ages. Here Christ proclaims the gospel in all its preciousness and in all of its simplicity. And he is addressing that promise to those who thirst. Of course, boys and girls, you realize that Christ is not talking about physical thirst. We all understand what thirst is. There's no one here who does not know what that means. What it means when on a very hot day, when your mouth is parched and where you're longing for a fresh drink of cold water. And especially in Israel, where water was at a premium, Christ chose an analogy that the people could immediately identify with. And ultimately, what a description this is of a fallen humanity. Why is it that our fallen human race is ultimately profoundly miserable and profoundly unhappy? Why is it that so many fail in their pursuit of happiness? Why is it that today in our culture, so many people are committing suicide? Why is it that so many young people are addicted to drugs? Because there is a yearning inside of man. There is a thirst inside of man that can only be satisfied in God. And sadly, by nature, we try to quench that thirst with everything other than God. And what a miracle it is of the work of the Holy Spirit when we begin to thirst after God, when we begin to thirst after the living God. That's what the Holy Spirit does when he awakens us to who we really are, when he shows us our true spiritual condition, when he shows us how wretched and undone we are. And why does he do that? In order to create in us a spiritual thirst. Because his goal in making us thirsty, his goal is to bring us to the Lord Jesus Christ. His goal is that we would thirst after the only one through whom we can be reconciled with God, the only one in whom we can be restored into the favor of God. And that's why David so beautifully describes the true believer in Psalm 42, verse 2, when he says, "My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" Oh, my dear congregation, can you identify with that? Can you identify with that spiritual thirst? Can you identify with what David says here, a thirsting for the living God himself? Because you see, when God sheds abroad in our hearts his love by his Spirit, then our soul begins to yearn after God himself. You see, the true believer does not thirst after heaven, doesn't just thirst after the benefits of salvation. The true believer, the one who has been made a new creature in Christ, the very nature of the life that comes from God is that it yearns for God. My soul thirsts for God. And we just sang it from Psalm 63, did we not? O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. And here it comes again. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Have you come here as a thirsty soul? Has that been the fruit of your preparation this week? Have you seen as never before that there is but one who can satisfy that thirst, and that is our blessed Lord Jesus Christ? Have you come here longing to be refreshed by him, to be refreshed at his table? Because no doubt, this is a general gospel invitation with a specific application, of course, to the Lord's Supper. But this is one of the most beautiful gospel invitations in the Bible. No doubt when Christ said this, he was thinking of Isaiah 55 verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, come buy without money and without price. But now he says, if any man thirst, oh, let him come to me. Oh, what a beautiful revelation of who this Savior is. Congregation, let me just make it crystal clear. This is how simple the gospel is. This is how real the gospel is. This is how generous the gospel is. Here, a Savior cries with all the intensity of his being, because he wants men to hear it. He longs for us to hear these words. He wants us to know who he is. He wants to know that if you come to me, I will in no wise cast you out. If you come to me with the thirst of your soul, if you come to me with your sin and with your guilt and with your corruption and with all that testifies against you, oh, sinner, come to me. And in me, you will find the solution for your soul. In me, you will be able to quench that thirst after thee. And really, in the Lord's Supper, the Lord Jesus, in a loving way, reminds us of all of his promises, but also this promise. And so his invitation also to us, his children, is come to me again. You see, that's the life of faith. Come to me again. Because ultimately, the life of the Christian is a coming to Christ, an ongoing coming to Christ, a repeated coming to Christ. The Holy Spirit will see to it in the life of the believer that time and again we will thirst after him again. Time and again, oh, his work is to take out of Christ and to show it unto us. His work is to show us our emptiness for one reason, in order that we would find our fullness in this precious Savior. Oh, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. So simple. But does that word me? Congregation, the profundity of that little word me. Let him come unto me. Ultimately, it is God himself who in his Son invites sinners to come to himself. Come unto me. Oh, my people, come unto me. I am the God of your fathers. I am Jehovah in the flesh. Come to me. I am the one and only mediator between God and man. Oh, come to me. Come to me, my people. Come to me. Come to me again. Come to me in order that at my table that I may satisfy your thirst, your spiritual thirst. And then the broken bread and the shed blood, the shed wine reminds us that also for your sake, on the cross of Calvary, he thirsted. He cried out, oh, I thirst. And he thirsted in your place. He thirsted on the cross of Calvary. He thirsted. And he was deprived of all spiritual comfort. He thirsted in order that he would be able to quench your thirst even at his table. Oh, come unto me. I am the Savior who will in no wise cast you out. Come to me. That's what he said in Matthew 11 as well. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And really, congregation, that's what the Lord's table is all about. It is Christ who is the host of the table. It is Christ who stands before us. It is Christ who invites you and who is saying to his people, come to me. Come to me the way you are. Come with all your burdens. Come to me. Because in me alone, you will find the satisfaction of all of the yearnings of your soul. And so, dear believer, do you desire to have a fresh sense, of the forgiveness of your sins? Christ said, if that's your longing, come unto me. In me you will find the answer. In me and in my finished work is the warranty that by having come to me, that by having believed on me, by having trusted on me, in me is the warranty that all your sins are pardoned. Do you yearn? Do you yearn for a deeper sense of God's favor? Do you yearn to be assured of God's favor? It can only be found in him. If you yearn to have a sense of God's favor in your soul, Christ says, come to me. If you have a yearning, a deep desire for communion with God, again, that's one of the marks, the distinguishing marks of the true believer. The nominal believer, the name Christian, they're only interested in the benefits of salvation. But a true believer, what satisfies the soul the most is sweet communion with God. Congregation, do you know anything about that? Do you know what that means to have communion with God? You see, that's what satisfies the soul of the believer. And you see, that's all in Christ. It's all in him. Come to me. Oh, he said, do you desire to commune? Do you long for communion with God? Come to me. If that's your desire, if that's your thirst, come to me. Is it your yearning that God would use the sacrament, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you concerned about the fact that your understanding of the gospel is still so primitive, that it appears that you make so little progress in the life of faith, that you still see so many shortcomings and failures in yourself? Do you long to grow in grace? Come to me. If that's your yearning, come to me. Perhaps this week you were convicted of your backsliding. Oh, sadly, we as the people of God are prone to backsliding. Prone to wander away from the shepherd. We are so vulnerable to backsliding. But the promise of the gospel is, I will heal you of your backsliding. Do you grieve over this? Have you come to church today grieving over the fact that especially this week of preparation has exposed your backsliding frame and your backsliding conduct? And you yearn for restoration. Ah, he says, come. Come, if you thirst for restoration, come to me. If you yearn for increased holiness, if you yearn to experience the joy of salvation, and yes, if you yearn for God himself, Jesus is saying, come to me. And of course, the implied promise is so very self-evident that if we come to him, he will give that which he promises. And so he asks us to drink. I want you to notice how important that word is. Christ is not saying, come and I will give you a sip. He does not say, come and I will give you a little drop. No, he says, come and drink. And how do you drink? When you are really thirsty, how do you drink? Do you just take a sip? No, when you are really thirsty, oh, in no time flat you will empty that glass. In no time flat you will empty that bottle. Because when you're really thirsty, you can't just do it a sip. And here Christ is saying in all simplicity, he is saying, sinner, in me there is an infinite supply of grace. There is an infinite supply for the yearning of your thirsty soul. Oh, come to me. I am the overflowing fountain of good. And again, you see, congregation, Christ is not a Savior who gives his people the bare minimum. Christ is not his Savior who blesses his people with a little here and a little there. He is not a Savior who just gives his people now and then a little crumb. What an abominable distortion of the character of Christ. No, he is a Christ. He said, I have come that they might have life, that they might have it abundantly. Think of the beautiful words of Psalm 36, verse 8. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. Oh, Christ is saying, my people, come, and I want you to drink to your heart's content. I want you to drink as much as you want. I want you to know that I never will run dry. I want to bless you, and I want to bless you abundantly. I want to bless you out of my fullness with grace for grace. Oh, let him come to me. And again, that beautiful present tense in Greek. Let him come to me again and again and again and again. Over and over and over again. Oh, your Savior will never tire of receiving you. If there's anything he delights in, is when you come to him, when you trust in him alone, when you seek him out. Oh, he delights in that. That's why the intensity in what he said. Oh, at that moment, he felt who he was. At that moment, he looked at that multitude. And he knew why he came into the world. He knew he came to be the Savior of sinners. And with all the love of his heart, he cries out to them, oh, come to me. Come to me and drink. And so he promises. He promises, therefore, full satisfaction and joy to all who drink at that fountain. Who drink at that fountain freely. Now Spurgeon, in one of his meditations, mentions the fact that in his day, there were public drinking fountains all through London. But you know, those that were rich, they would not deign themselves to actually make use of that water that was available all through London without money and without price. And so they may have been very thirsty, but they were too proud to get off their chariot and to drink from those fountains. But the poor and needy, who had nothing, oh, they rejoiced in the fact that all through London there was an abundant supply of water, that there were fountains to which they could go freely, without money and without price. Oh, when Jesus spoke to the woman at the well in John 4, he said this to her in verse 14, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. And of course, he says it in verse 38. I have no time to unpack that. But he said, he that believeth on me. So there you, but what's beautiful there, that coming to Christ and believing in Christ are the same thing. See, that's what he says. Let him come unto me and drink, he that believeth on me. As the scripture says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And that's simply, as an aside, because that's actually another whole sermon. Christ is saying, when you drink the water that I give you, when you come to me as the fountain of living water, then you will become a blessing to others. And out of you will flow rivers of living water. Oh, let him come unto me and drink. In John 6:35, he says, he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And isn't it remarkable that the Bible ends this way? The Bible ends with that promise, where it says, and here Christ is speaking again, in the very last book of the Bible, in chapter 21, verse 6, and I will give to him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. That's it. That's the thrust of this invitation. And so, congregation, this is the Christ who has again purposed to have this sacrament in our midst. He did not wait for us to be ready. He did not wait until we met certain requirements. He did not wait until we had our spiritual house in order. He did not wait. No, in the midst of where we are, in the midst of our lives, in the midst of our wilderness journey, he comes to us in this very special and unique way. And he stands before us and he cries out to his people, oh, my people, if you thirst after me, if you thirst after communion with my Father, if you thirst after being reassured of my favor towards you, if you thirst after this, oh, come to me and I will nourish you and I will enable you by faith to drink of the fountain of the water of life freely. And of course, we see the beautiful whatsoever of the gospel here too, if any man. And I know, congregation, that let me be crystal clear, the Lord's table is for believers. But I want to emphasize, this gospel invitation is for all of you. If any man, this is how rich and how all-encompassing the gospel is. This invitation is intended for you. For you, boys and girls, there is not a single person in this congregation who would have to say, how do I know that I am intended with these words? No, if any man, any man, no matter who you are, if you come to him and if you believe in him, you will find the only true satisfaction that can be found. Because when you come to him, then you come and you will experience the favor of God. When you come to him, and when you believe in him, you will be reconciled with God and restored in his favor. And so, I end with the words of Revelation 22, verse 17. As the invitation to the table, and let him that is athirst come. This is the last gospel invitation of the Bible, 22:17. Let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink.